I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I would like to read from Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. This is usually when you think, or at least when I think of the book of Psalms, I usually think that David wrote the Psalms, but they're not all written by David. Many of them are written by David. There were some of the Psalms that were written by Moses and other of the saints of God. Some that we don't know anything else about other than just that one psalm. I hope that God will help us this morning as we look at one verse from Psalm 90. This psalm was written by Moses. He's praying for knowledge and for the experience of God's providence in his life. And he's also thanking God for all the ways that God has been with him and helped him during his life. God has been good to every one of us that are here today. God has blessed us beyond measure. And that's what they, and I encourage you to do this. I encourage you to go home and just sit down and write. You may not be able to write a psalm. You may not be able to write a poem. You may not be able to write something that anyone else will ever read except maybe you, but I encourage you to write down some of the blessings that God has given you in your life. I encourage you to write, I encourage all of you that have children to write letters to your children. Write down experiences in your life. Write down some of the ways that God has been with you. I want your children and your grandchildren to know some of the providential care that God has given in your life. That God has been with you, and that God has helped you, that God has guided you, that God has lifted you up, God has blessed your life in a special way. And that needs to be written down and recorded and remembered by those that live after you. Psalm 90, verse 1, the Word of God says in Psalm 90 and verse 1, Moses says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I want you to think about that expression. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, a dwelling place is, you might, give me another word for a dwelling place. A home. God, You have been our home. You have been a place that we have dwelt. We have dwelt in You. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. I believe that if, as you study the Word of God, that you'll see two different ways that God has been our dwelling place. First of all, I believe that in a covenant sense and in an eternal sense, I believe that we have been in God. We were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And Moses, and I may call him David several other times this morning, just forget that, I've already established it's Moses. But Moses says here, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I was in God, I was chosen, and You were chosen in Christ Jesus. You have been in God from before the foundation of the world. That's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. So do you see that in a covenant sense, that you are in Christ Jesus, that you are in God, and that God has been your dwelling place in all generations, and you will be in God, you will be in Christ Jesus for all future generations, and you will be in God when you get to the eternal heaven. And that's maybe impossible for you to completely comprehend and understand, but Moses understood, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Marvelous truth that's expressed in that one expression, Lord, Thou hast been our home. We have been in you. Thou hast been our dwelling place. Thou hast been our hiding place in all generations. Now, not only is that true fundamentally, but there is another way that we are in God, and that's in an experiential way. And I believe with all of my heart that as we walk in the way that is pleasing to God, that that God is our dwelling place, He is our home, and we are in God in an experiential way. That is, I can feel that I'm in God when I'm keeping His commandments. He is my dwelling place. He is my home in all generations, not only when I was a child and as an adult and as a father and as a grandfather and maybe one day a great-grandfather. In all generations, I have been in Christ Jesus as far as my experience and my fellowship is concerned. Now, sometimes I'm out of Christ Jesus as far as my experience goes. Do all of you understand what I'm talking about there? There are times that I don't feel close to God. There are times that I don't feel like I am in God, and I lose that experiential fellowship with God. But even though I lose my fellowship with God, I cannot lose my relationship to God. I am in God in an eternal sense, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. But my fellowship with God can be severed while I live in this world, and then I am no longer, God is not my dwelling place. I'm not dwelling in God unless I'm keeping His commandments. Now, hope God will help us to understand that. And I believe that Moses, in his experience, sometimes we read the Word of God and we think, well, God just inspired him to write that. Well, that's true that God did inspire Moses to write this, but it was something Moses felt in his heart and in his soul. When he said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, Moses had felt, I have been in God. I want you to think about Moses' life just a minute. And what I want you to see this morning is a beautiful truth, if God will help me to convey it to you, and if God will open your eyes and bless you to see it, is that God is your home. God is your dwelling place right now. You can be in God and have fellowship with God no matter where you are geographically. I can be in Waycross and be in God. I can be in Texas and be in God. And my focus and my thoughts should not be that I am living at 655 Acock Road, but my thought and my intent and my feeling and my desire should be my home, my dwelling place is in God. Because if I know that my home, if my dwelling place is in God, then it doesn't matter if I have to go to a nursing home. Do you follow that? Do you know that sometimes all of these dear saints of God that are sitting down here, they had to go to the nursing home. And even though they had to go to the nursing home, do you know, I believe that every one of them, their emphasis, their concentration, and their thought is not on my home is the nursing. Nursing what? Nursing home. That's not really the main thought you have to be happy in the nursing home. The main thought is, I'm in God. God is my home. I'm at home in God, even if I'm in the nursing home. The Apostle Paul was at home in God, even if he was in prison. Do you think the Apostle Paul was a happy man even while he was in prison? Some heads are going no, and some heads are going yes. How could Paul be a happy man in prison? Because Paul thought about what Moses wrote down here, Lord, You are my dwelling place. This prison is not my dwelling place. I'm in You. And as long as I can feel that I'm in God, then it doesn't matter if I'm in prison or the nursing home or an intermediate care home or a personal care home or in my own home or in a tent. If I can just feel that I'm in God, if I can just remember and my concentration is, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. You are my home. Then do you see that it doesn't make any difference about the geographical location or whatever else is going on in your life? You will be happy if you see what Moses saw when Moses said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Where did Moses start off? As a little baby. He started off as an Israelite, didn't he? Now, could Moses as a little child, as an Israelite, could he be happy as an Israelite? Could Moses have been happy as an Israelite, as a slave in Egypt? Could Moses have been happy as an Israelite like he was born a slave in Egypt? Yes, he was, if he could feel and know, I'm not concentrating on being a slave. I'm not concentrating on being in Egypt. My concentration, my thought, my feeling, my understanding is, Lord, what? Thou art my dwelling place. So as an Israelite in Egypt, his home was not an Israelite in Egypt. What was his home? What was his dwelling place? The Lord was his dwelling place. And then he went from that to being in that little ark floating down the river. Now, what was his home there? Was the ark his home, or was the Lord his dwelling place? Which one? God was his dwelling place. Now, I know that in a natural sense, you can say he was an Israelite and he was a slave. And if you think about the outward appearance and the outward physical place you're in, if you don't concentrate on the Lord is your dwelling place, you're not going to be a happy child of God sometimes. But if you are concentrating that the Lord is your dwelling place, you'll be happy no matter where you are. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned, listen carefully. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It didn't matter what condition he was in. It didn't matter what location he was in. Because his concentration was like Moses. The Lord is my habitation. And I hope that God will help every one of us this morning to begin to see and know what Moses understood. As an Israelite, as a slave in Egypt, he could still say, the Lord is my habitation. And as a little baby going down the river in the ark, he could still say, I'm not a little baby about to drown in the ark. I'm a child that is in God. And then as he got into Pharaoh's house, he could have said, look at my habitation here. And if, listen carefully, if Moses had concentrated on his habitation, if his concentration, if his thoughts, if his feeling, if his desire, if his joy was on Pharaoh's house and all the natural blessings there, if it had been that instead of being in God, did you know he never would have left Egypt? Did you know that? The only way that Moses could leave Egypt is him thinking about what he says right here. The Lord is my dwelling place. You see, he could get out of Egypt. He could go out there, and when he left Egypt, he left Pharaoh's house, and he went through you remember how he went to Midian, and he went to the backside of the desert. I want you to think about going from being as rich as a man can be in Pharaoh's house to going and being a shepherd in the backside of the desert. Could he be happy down there? Could he be just as happy down there as he was in Pharaoh's house? Yes. How? How could Moses be just as happy? Because Moses understood this marvelous and wonderful truth. The Lord is my dwelling place. The Lord is my dwelling place. That's where I'm dwelling. That's what I'm dwelling on in my mind and heart and soul. And that's where I am dwelling in my body, soul, and spirit. I am dwelling in the Lord. And as long as I dwell in the Lord, I'll be happy wherever I am. And then after he left the backside of the desert there, then he came and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as he led them out, you remember how the children of Israel murmured and complained against him and how they rebuked him and they wanted to kill him. Could Moses still be happy out there in the wilderness with the people murmuring and complaining against him, could he still be happy? How could he be happy out there in the wilderness? How could he be happy when everybody was ridiculing him and making fun of him and mad at him and wanted to kill him? How could Moses still be happy? No matter what everybody else thought about him, Moses was happy because Moses was thinking about something. What was he thinking about? Was he thinking about, oh, I'm out here in the wilderness? Were the children of Israel thinking about that? Listen carefully. Were the children of Israel thinking about, oh, I'm out here in the wilderness? Oh, I've got all these problems. Oh, I've lost my home. Oh, I've lost my health. Oh, I've lost my family. Listen, brethren, if you don't concentrate on what Moses did right here, you'll be a sad child of God. But if you'll concentrate on the Lord is your dwelling place, you'll be a happy child of God. You'll rejoice every day no matter what the devil and all of his angels bring in your life, no matter what happened in Job's life. Do you know why the Lord blessed Job to say, the Lord gave, after he lost all of his possessions and all 10 of his children? How could Job say the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away? It's because Job understood the same thing Moses understood here. The Lord is my habitation. If his habitation, if his dwelling place, if his home, if his thoughts had been on the natural home and on his natural family, you know what he would have done when he lost all 10 of his children? You know what would have happened to him without God's help when he lost all 10 of his children? Listen, brethren, you can't live through that. You can't live through that. Most of you don't know what it's like to lose a child, but you can't live through losing a child that you love without God just reaching down and being your dwelling place. Let me tell you something, brethren. Sometimes I seek God being my dwelling place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I want God to be my dwelling place. Sometimes I strive for God to be my dwelling place. Sometimes I think about God being my dwelling place. But you know, sometimes in my life I've been so low, I didn't seek God being my dwelling place. I didn't want God to be my dwelling place. But God, in His mercy and grace, God has reached down and lifted me up. And He's taken me into His dwelling place. Have you ever been there where you were so low and so far away from God that God was your dwelling place? Not because you strived to be in that dwelling place, but because God just picked you up and took you home. You remember there was a man that was beaten and was half dead. You remember that man? The Samaritan that was beaten? No, let's see. There was a good Samaritan that came along and found the man. My point is, that man that was half dead that was laying in that ditch, if that Samaritan hadn't come along and picked him up and carried him home, that man would have never gotten out of that ditch. He'd have died right there. Do you know that? The only way he got up and got out of that was the Samaritan came along and took him to an inn and dressed his wounds and put him on his horse and everything else. Listen, brethren, I've had children of God and I've had God Himself come to me and pick me up and take me home. Have you ever had God to just pick you up and set you in His dwelling place? You remember how Mephibosheth was lame in his feet? He couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything. And you remember how David said, bring Mephibosheth up here. And he sat him down in the king's palace. And he fed him. Listen, brethren, all of that is a picture of how so many times in our lives, experientially, that we can't get up and God just reaches down and takes us into His home. And when God has taken you into His home and you're in Him and you're dwelling in Him and He's your dwelling place, it's a shame and a disgrace for God to have picked you up and delivered you from the bondage of sin and death and delivered you from the bondage of this world, and then you go back out into the ways of the world. I hope that God will help me and help you this, from this day forward, that we would get up with a desire every day. Lord, I know that in an eternal sense, I know that fundamentally, I know that You are my dwelling place. But I want You to be my dwelling place. I want to live in You every day. I want to dwell in You every day. I want to feel Your presence. I want to stop concentrating on the natural houses. I want to stop concentrating on the natural dwelling places. I thank God for this building. I thank God for the people, Brother Bussey and Brother Waters and all these, the old saints that helped established this church building and built this building and worked and labored and gave of their time and their energy and their money and everything they gave and met here Sunday after Sunday so many times when there weren't but a handful of people, and they met here week after week and month after month until finally the Lord added to the church. The only reason this church has as many people as it does today is because God has gone out there and picked some people up and brought them into His dwelling place. Now the house of God, the church of the living God, is a great blessing. And you and I need to realize, I believe with all my heart, the only reason I'm here today, physically, the only reason I moved to Waycross, Sister Ann Tucker and Brother David, and they know. The only thing that brought me to Waycross was the power of God. This isn't where I wanted to come. Listen, I came here and preached a meeting just after the church had called me, and a few weeks before I accepted the call of the church, I came here and preached the meeting, and we met at Brother David's house one night, and we talked about church discipline, and everybody around that table said, we won't ever vote to put anybody out of the church. Now, you think you want to be a pastor and go to a church where they tell you they're not going to follow what God's Word says? I didn't want to come here. But God, listen, God sent me here. And God put me in His habitation here. And I'm in God. And this building can fall to the ground, and I'll still have God as my habitation. And this building can fall to the ground and we'll still have the church, the house of the living God will still be here. Isn't that amazing? And God not only brought me here, God brought every one of you here. I don't believe there's a person in this building this morning. I don't believe there's a person here that God didn't bring you to this habitation. And you need to praise the Lord. You need to be glad. Moses was happy when he said, the Lord has been my dwelling place in all generations. When Moses was carried up on the mountain and was blessed to see, you remember how he had hit the rock and couldn't go into the land? Did he want the land of Canaan to be his habitation? Did he want the land of Canaan to be his habitation? Did Moses want that? Yes, he wanted that. But he couldn't go in. Why not? He couldn't go in because he had gotten angry, he got mad, he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And he died up there on that mountain. But I'll tell you this, brethren, God was with Moses up there. Even when he died, even when he had sinned and couldn't enter into the land of Canaan, did you know who was Moses' habitation? When he was alone up on that mountain and died on that mountain, you know who was his habitation? The Lord was his habitation. Because though he got angry and sinned, he repented and he went running right back to the Lord. And the Lord became his habitation. Even though God wouldn't let him go into the land of Canaan, he was still in the Lord. Not only fundamentally, but experientially, Moses was still in the Lord. Listen, turn to Isaiah just a moment. Go forward in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 32. Do you feel this morning, do you feel like you're in God?
Amen. Yes, I do.
I'm glad you do, sister. I know you do. I don't see how we couldn't jump up and down and holler. You know, we ought to be like a lot of other churches, so full of the Spirit that we can't sit quiet. We ought to be so full of joy this morning that we ought to shout and scream and holler and praise and say, thank you, God, that I am in your habitation. I'm in the Lord. Listen to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32, this is a prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isaiah chapter 32, listen to verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place. Who is that king that would reign in righteousness in verse 1? Who is that king? It's Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus. And he says, a king shall reign in righteousness. Do you know where Jesus is right now? Listen, brethren, there are a lot of people that don't know that. They think that one day Jesus is going to come back, and they don't know he's already come back and established his kingdom, that right now Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Right now Jesus is ruling and reigning on this earth. He is the king of his kingdom, and his kingdom is here. He told his apostles to pray, thy kingdom come, and his kingdom did come, and we dwell in the kingdom. But P.S., listen, listen, we dwell in the kingdom. I want you to watch this now. It's pretty. Do you dwell in the kingdom or do you dwell in God? Which one? You dwell in the kingdom or do you dwell in God? Which one? Which one? It's hard to say, isn't it? Well, you dwell in the kingdom, but you also dwell in God when you're dwelling in the kingdom. Watch this. Look. I'm gonna have to leave this. There's a lot of good preaching right here in Isaiah 32. A man shall be a what? What does this Isaiah 32:2 say? And a man shall be as a what? Hiding place. A hiding place. Do you ever need to hide? You ever need to hide? Listen, brethren, there's a lot of time I need a hiding place. There's a lot of times that my heart's been hurt. My soul has been hurt. That it's been hurt sometimes by the dearest people in my life, by my brothers and sisters in Christ. And when my soul is hurt, I need a hiding place. I need a place I can just run to and hide and weep and cry when nobody else is around. Because nobody else can give me peace when I've been hurt like that. Did you know it? Have you ever been hurt so deeply that nobody could do you any good except the Lord? Well, that's when you need the Lord as a hiding place. And you, when you find the Lord as a dwelling place, you'll also find the Lord as a what? A hiding place. What did Moses say over there in Psalm 90? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And then he says here in Isaiah, a man shall be as a hiding place. He's my hiding place. He's my dwelling place. He is my home. God is my home. Look at, I'll go to Revelation just a moment. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at Revelation chapter 21. My question just a moment ago was, do you dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Is the kingdom of heaven your dwelling place? Or is God your dwelling place? Well, listen. Come down to Revelation 21. Start with verse 1. Revelation 21, starting with verse 1, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What is this new heaven and new earth? What is that? It's the kingdom of heaven. It's described in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, doing what? Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Listen. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God, now listen, when I die, guess where I'm going when I die? Where am I going? Where are you going when you die? The very moment when you die, what happens immediately right then? The Spirit returns to God that gave it. It goes home. Does it go to God or go home? Yes, because God is my home. I've tried to mention this before, and it gets prettier and prettier the older I get. We shouldn't really be saying, I'm going to heaven. You don't find that expression in the Scripture, I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to die and go to heaven. What did Jesus say over and over? I'm going to where? No, he didn't say I'm going home. What did he say? I'm going to what? I'm going to my Father. I'm going to my Father. He repeated it over and over and over the last few weeks and days of his life. He kept saying, I'm going to my Father. I'm going to my Father. Well, was he going to heaven? Yes, he was going to heaven. But what was his emphasis on? I'm going to dwell in my Father. I'm going to go home. Yes, we're going home. The emphasis right here is I'm going to dwell in the Lord. The Lord hath been our habitation. He's our dwelling place. Now, Revelation 21, come down to verse 22. I don't have time to get through all of this, but I want you to come down to Revelation 21, verse 22. It talks about this holy city, the New Jerusalem, that came down from God out of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 22, he says, "And I saw no temple therein." Here's this holy city. Here's this holy city. There was no temple in this holy city. Do you see that? There was no temple. It says, "There was no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the," what? "The temple of it." So when you go into this holy city and you start looking for a temple to go in, you start looking for a temple, who is the temple? The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So do you see where your dwelling place is? Is your dwelling place in the kingdom of heaven? Is your dwelling place in the kingdom of heaven? It's all right to say that, yes. But what else do you need to see every time you see the kingdom of heaven? If you don't see the King of the kingdom, every time you look at the kingdom of heaven, if you don't see the King of the kingdom, you've missed the mark. If you don't see Jesus, every time you think about the kingdom of heaven, you need to think about Jesus. He is our dwelling place. We dwell in Him. And the only people that dwell in Him in the way this is talking about are obedient children of God. Listen carefully. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven which God has prepared for His obedient children. This is the experiential dwelling in Him. Back up in your Bibles to 1 John. Look in your Bibles at 1 John chapter 3. Listen, please follow this. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Listen to verse 24. 1 John chapter 3, this is not the Gospel of John now. Back up to, if you'll start at Revelation, and back up to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, three little books. Sister Ann and I have been together here for 28 years, and she said, "How long are you going to have to keep preaching that every time you say 1st John, you're going to have to start with Revelation and get them to back up?" She said, "People are going to know what." Well, I don't think so. Because every time I call out 1 John, people typically go to John, the Gospel of John. We're in 1 John now. Look at this. It's important that you see this in your Bible. We're talking about the Lord has been our dwelling place. He, it's in Him that we... Listen. Ooh, listen. Listen, this is pretty. Acts 17, verse 28 says, "It's in Him that we live and move and have our very being." Ooh. Do you see that? Acts 17, 28. You can look it up when you get home. It just came to me. In Him we live and move and have our very being. Isn't that beautiful? He's our dwelling place. But now in order for Him to be your dwelling place in an experiential way and you to feel that you are in Him and dwelling in Him, you have to follow and keep the commandments of God. You can lose this dwelling place as far as you feeling that you're in God. You can even forget that you've been purged from your sins. You can forget that you don't... There are people today that used to know all about election and predestination and salvation by grace. They don't know anything today. It's gone. And that's taught in the book of Peter very clearly. Look now at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 verse 24. 1 John. Thank you, Brother Neil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Dwells in who? Who is the pronoun him talking about? Jesus, God. He that what? He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. You dwell in God. Is this saying you've got to do something to dwell in him? Brother Clay, is it? Is this saying you've got to do something to dwell in Him? Yes, it is. If we keep His commandments, then we dwell in Him, and He in Him. He'll dwell in us, and we'll dwell in Him. Which one is it? It's both. Do we enter the kingdom of heaven, or does the kingdom of heaven enter into us? The kingdom of God is within you, but you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You dwell in God, but God dwells in you. Oh, I know there's people that can't ever understand this. That's all right. The only reason you understand it is because God has revealed it to you. You can't understand anything in God's Word. You can't ever see truth unless God blesses you to see truth. So don't you ever be so high-minded and haughty that you look down on people that don't understand the truth. It's God's amazing grace that has brought us to where we are. It's God's amazing grace that we dwell in Him and He dwells in us. If we, what's verse 24 say? And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. You dwell in God, and he in you. He dwells in you. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You know how I know that he dwells in me? If I can feel his Spirit dwelling in me. Go with me to John 15 in closing. And the only reason we're closing is because there is no end to this or any other sermon. I want to remind you of that. There is no end to this truth. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 15. Please look at this in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're talking about what Moses said in Psalm 90 when he said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. You've been our hiding place. You've been our home in all generations. I hope that when I die, Do you know what house I hope I die in? You know what home I hope I die in? Listen, I don't care if it's 655 Acock Road or a nursing home. I don't care if it's a hospital. I want to be in my home. I want to be in God when I die. I want to feel His presence with me when I die. I've got to do something in order to experience that. Let me tell you something sweet. I felt called to preach when I was 17 years old. Teresa and I had been dating for a couple of years, or kind of dating. We didn't really date till we were married, I guess. I don't know. But we dated for 3 or 4 years. But when I was 17, I felt led of the Lord to preach. And I cried on a date one night and told her, and we'd already been talking about getting married, and I said, I can't marry you. And she said, why not? I said, I can't tell you. I just can't marry you. And the reason I said that is because I'd watched my mama be so unhappy so many times as we would have to move from church to church to church. So many problems and troubles in churches. And mama have to cry and weep and mourn. She would always say, every time I get my yards all fixed up, I get all my flowers planted, then you say we've got to leave. And I watched mama go through sad times. I didn't want my wife to have to go through that. And you know what Teresa told me? She said, you think you can't marry me because you feel a burden to preach, don't you? And I had never mentioned that. And I said, yes. And she said, let me tell you something. And I told her why I didn't want her to marry me, because I had to be a preacher. And she said, and it's meant a lot to me all my life. She said, if you and I can just be together, I don't care if we dwell in tents the rest of our lives. I don't care if we have to move over and over and over. Now, brethren, I doubt there's ever been many preachers that have that kind of a wife that's humble enough to dwell in a tent, but she would, and she would be happy living in a tent. And you and I better reach that point in our lives that we're willing to live in tents. You got to be willing to live in nothing. And the amazing thing is that God has given us everything. God has been so good to us. God's been so good to me and so good to you, to be able to dwell in God. That's wonderful, to dwell in Him, to know He is your dwelling place. He's your hiding place. Jesus says here in John 15, He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Look at what He says in John 15, verse 1. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. every branch, and I want you to listen carefully to the next two words, because he points out the same truth I pointed out in the beginning, that God is our dwelling place in an eternal sense forever, but God is only our dwelling place in an experiential sense when we are keeping his commandments. This is brought out in this whole passage of Scripture. He says in verse 2, he says, every branch in me, every branch what? In me. Are these branches in Christ? Yes. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, are there branches in Christ, fundamentally and eternally, that do not bear fruit? Yes, there are. This idea of false doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is something that has eaten up churches. It's a lie from the devil. All of God's children do not hear the preaching of the gospel. They do not all obey the gospel even when they hear it. There are many of God's children that have never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many of God's children that even when they hear the preaching of the gospel, that they don't persevere in their service to God. They're preserved in Christ Jesus, but there's a major difference in you being preserved in Christ and you persevering. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What happens to you and to me who are in Christ fundamentally? What does he do to us when we don't bear fruit? He'll take us away. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Listen to verse 4. Listen to verse 4. What are the first three words? What are the first three words? Abide. What does that mean, abide? Live, dwell, stay. Dwelling place. Abide in me. In an experiential sense, do you decide whether or not you abide in Christ? In an experiential sense, as far as your fellowship with God, do you decide whether or not the Lord is your dwelling place? Do you decide whether or not you're going to make the Lord your home? Do you understand the truth in that? If you don't, please see me later, because it's very, very important that you know and understand. There are a lot of God's children who understand the truth of eternal salvation being by grace who are living in a hell today. Their home on this earth is hell because they don't understand what this passage of Scripture is teaching. Yes. Ooh-wee, Brother Neil. Most of the time he waits till he's coming out of church to share something like that. David says, if I make my bed in hell, do you sometimes make your bed in hell? Yes. May God help us to not make our bed in hell, but make our bed, make our dwelling place in God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.